Have you ever gone to Ben's Pretzels and had a Ben's Pretzel? I have on multiple occasions. I assume that some of you have as well. And if you have gone to Ben's and you've had a pretzel, you probably heard four words. Have a pretzel day. Ever hear those four words? Now, whenever I pick up a Ben's Pretzel and they say have a pretzel day, I'm always a little intrigued. I never really understood what that means. How many beauticians are there that say have a haircut day? How many mechanics are there that say have an oil change day? How many cashiers say have a Walmart day? I don't know about you, but I don't hear those things. When someone talks about a day, I hear things like have a good day, have a nice day, have a wonderful day. And depending on who you talk to, especially in this area, someone might even say have a blessed day. When we think about having days, I don't know what a pretzel day is, but I do know a little bit about the word blessed. I know that because of the book of Revelation. Seven times in the book of Revelation, and the passages are before us, Revelation 1:3, Revelation 1:14, Revelation 14:13, 16:15, 19:9, 26, 22:7, and 22 verse 14. John uses the word blessed seven times in the book of Revelation, and that's in the original text. It's probably that way in your Bible as well. Now, this word blessed in Revelation is the same term that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, you may remember, said that his people can be happy, they can be fortunate, they can be well off, they can be prosperous, if you will. Now, our world is filled with people who want to talk about and have prosperity. The Bible also talks about prosperity or being well off, but not quite in the way that the world defines it. God says, when I think about having people who are blessed, here's what I have in mind. Look at the book of Revelation. Now, when we look at the world and they think about people being blessed or well off or happy, yes, generally for a period of time, perhaps a few or maybe even dozens of years. But God says, how about a blessed life? How about a blessed life that is not only a life that you live on earth for all your days, but how about a blessed life which lasts into eternity as well? Someone says, well, God, that's of interest to me. How can I have it? Here's how it begins. The first time you'll find blessed in the book of Revelation is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. John said, blessed. Blessed is the one who reads. Blessed is the one who hears. Blessed is the one who keeps the things that are written therein. John said that God has a book. John has written some things for us that God wanted communicated. And as we look at that, we think about our world and all the written material. Have you ever paused? Maybe you've gone into a large library and you saw all kinds of written material, shelf after shelf after shelf, or maybe it was even a large used bookstore. I did a little looking. Back in 2015, there was an article on the web that talked about in 2015, just 5 years ago, how much information 5 years ago was on the web. Now, if this estimate was anywhere right, it was back in 2015, believed that we needed 136 plus billion pieces of paper to put on paper what was on the internet. Now, I don't know about you, but I think 136 billion pieces of paper is a lot. And we've now gone 5 years past that, and the web has not decreased as far as the amount of information. Now, when you think about 136 plus billion pieces of paper, whether that is in the e-world or whether that is in the secular world, that's a lot of information. That's more information than a person can sift through in life. So if God is telling us, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, I have given you some information, and now in our world we have more than 136 billion pieces of paper, where is it? How do we find that information from God buried in this stack of e-information and paper information? Well, there's help. You see that reference at the bottom of the slide, Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, that Bible verse says that God can be found. All we need to do is feel after. All we need to do is seek after. All we need to do is search after God, and God can be and will be found. Now, I know that God's been found because some politicians have found him. Now, when a politician finds God and his word, other people can as well. As you look at the politicians and you see some of the books they quote, now this is changing a little bit. Sometimes you will find a quote or two from the Quran, but you don't find people quoting Mary Baker Eddy. You don't find people quoting Joseph Smith. You don't find people quoting the occult. They go back and they quote the Bible. Why? Because the Bible has shown itself to be the word from God in a number of different ways. We've got predictive prophecy and several other ways. God has given us his word. He has preserved his word. And God says, if you will take my word and if you will use my word, you will be blessed. Now notice the blessing. God says, blessed is the person who reads my word. Now I preached on this verse sometime back. We've been looking at Revelation for some time, especially on Sunday mornings, and I found something about that word that I had previously not seen. When John used the word read in Revelation 1 and verse 3, he used a word which at least here seems to have the additional connotation of read aloud, read in public, publicly proclaim God's word somehow. Now, I find that to be a very interesting detail for this reason. When you look at the book of Revelation, you are looking at a book which was written to people who were being persecuted. You are looking at a book which talks about the devil stirring up trouble for God's people. You're looking at a book where God's people were not having an easy time, where some of these people, you think about people having to run and hide in caves to worship God. They're having to worship in secret because the outsiders are after them. And in spite of that context, John says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, he barely gets started, and he says, I want to tell you something. I want you to read. I want you to declare. I want you to proclaim God's word in public. Now, had I been one of his original readers, I might have gone back and thought, John, is that really what you mean? And John says, yes. That being the case, when we think about the internet, one of the most public places, one of the most public forums that we have right now, we should be people who should be seeking to share that message on the internet. If you are a person who is somehow on social media, and there are a lot of different ways to do that, let me challenge you as a Christian to share somehow some Bible information. There's some people who simply put a verse a day on there. Or sometimes a person will cross-post something that another person has had. But if you're on social media, Revelation 1:3 would indicate that God wants us to use that form, use that to somehow share his word. Someone says, well, why would God be interested in that? If there were no other reason, this would be enough. If we're willing to share God's word, what does that imply about our shame of the gospel? Well, it implies that we are not ashamed. It implies that we're willing to stand up and say, we are a Christian, we are a child of God, we are someone who holds to the word of God. Now, there are a lot of ways to publicly share or read God's word. We didn't have one this morning. Been a while since we've had one. But sometimes we have scripture readings here. I want to look at Revelation 1:3 in terms of a scripture reading. If you're a man and you are asked to read a scripture, you can react in at least one of three ways. Reaction number one might be this. Oh, great. They asked me to read the scripture this morning. I knew my time was going to come up, and it's today. I hope it's not a long one. That can be a reaction. I don't think that we have that reaction here, but there are some people who do react in that way. Another attitude might be, well, I've been asked to read a scripture. Yeah, okay, that's my job for the day. I'm going to do that, and I did it. Great. But what about a third reaction? What about a reaction based on Revelation 1:3? What about a reaction which says, it is my day. Today is the day where I get up to stand up and read God's word. I'm privileged. I'm honored. I'm thankful. May not be the best reader. And I may not be the most confident reader, but I am blessed. If we are asked to publicly read, if we can publicly share God's word, John says we're blessed. Now, this word can also be applied to communion as we think about a public sharing of it. If we publicly read God's word when it comes to the Lord's Supper, John says, Revelation 1 and verse 3, we're blessed, we're prosperous, we're well off. Such can also be done before we take an offering, have some part of scripture read then. Now, certainly as we think about worship, it is a time to publicly read, a time to publicly share God's word. But is it not true that we can also share in a public way God's word aside from worship? What about our congregational Bible classes? I know what happens in the adult classes because I'm there. But I dare say that in some of the younger classes, there are opportunities for some of our young people to read in a somewhat public way scripture. As we think about our adults in adult Bible classes, there are also at times, depending on the class, but certainly here, there are plenty of opportunities for an adult to read in class. Now, if you attend, and I know COVID has changed this a little bit, but once we're past that, or if you've had a chance to attend other congregations in the past, and you've ever sat through a Bible class in some of the congregations, you have seen that getting someone who is in the class to read a scripture is like pulling teeth. People would practically just rather leave the class than read a Bible verse. And that's true in a lot of places. I really wonder if it would not be different if people looked at, understood, and applied Revelation 1 verse 3. God says, if you are willing to read my word publicly, you're going to be blessed. Now, someone might think, well, I don't read as well as others. I am a poor reader. Does the text say that God will only bless the person who reads well? Not in my translation. Another may think, well, you know, you're kind of going fast in class, and I'm not sure I can find the verses fast enough. Let me tell you something. The teacher's not going to walk out in the class. The class isn't going to go to sleep. The class isn't going to lead. If you need more time, that's okay. Someone else might say, well, I'm just shy. I would like to read, and I have that desire, but I'm shy. Well, let me tell you something. When you are reading the Bible, your head is typically down. You're not looking up and around. And as your head is down, you can lift up your voice, and you can read and be blessed. God wants his word to be declared in public. We need to publicize the scriptures. Along with public reading, we hear the reading and the keeping of this verse. We may share God's word in a public way. We do that on a sign sometimes. And if you were not here and heard an announcement Wednesday night by one of our elders, you're going to hear it today. We've got some people in the area, and this has been true for 20 years. We try to put up signs which challenge people in some ways, and we've had some people who do not like our signs. I had one man, I think I've used this as far as an illustration in class, but back in the office one day, and there was one man, he began to beat on our door. And I went to see him. And I said, what's wrong? I thought the building was on fire. He said, and this is a quote, take down your sign. He stopped. Beat on the door until somebody came, take down the sign. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm going to a Bible study. And the person that I'm going to the Bible study with, they've seen your sign, and we don't teach what's on the sign. Take down the sign. People pay attention. Publicly declare God's word. Internet, on your sign, wherever it is. Along with the public reading, John says, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, we want to read that word. We want to make sure that we also hear and we also keep God's word. There are going to be some people who don't want to hear God's word. The illustration I just gave illustrates that. But there are some people who will respond to God's word. And John says, if we are willing to do that, if we are willing to hear it and then do what God's word says, we are going to be blessed. Now somebody says, well, this word blessing, are you meaning that every single problem a person has is going to be erased? No. I mean that if you're going to be blessed by God, you still may struggle with health issues. I mean that if you're going to be blessed by God in this life and throughout eternity, the part in this life may involve family hardship. You might lose a job. You might lose a loved one prematurely. You might suffer persecution. There are all kinds of difficulties, and I know that because the Bible, Old Testament, and New shows that. God's people were blessed, but they still had to deal with various afflictions. God's hand will be with us every single day. If we simply apply Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. If we're someone who wants more than a pretzel day, if we're someone who wants more than a good day, if we are someone who wants more than a wonderful day, if we are someone who wants more than just a day or a life, if we want a life and an eternal existence with God that's blessed, hear that word, keep that word, and be a reader or share of that word. Now, as I mentioned last Wednesday, our elders made an announcement. And if you didn't hear that, it's going to be made today. As we ponder that announcement, whether we heard it or whether we're hearing it for the first time this morning, bear in mind that we want to be a proclaimer of God's word regardless of circumstances. Never be ashamed, never be afraid, and never be hesitant. God will bless those who obey. There's an old saying about death. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've said it. You can't take it with you. Ever hear anybody say those words? Oh, I have. But the person who thought up that saying missed, I believe, an important point. Several years ago, I became aware of travelers who had a lot of luggage. They figured out that if they were going to take all that luggage and put it on the airplane, they were going to be charged a lot of money. These travelers decided, I can send my luggage ahead. I'll just pay a service like UPS and ship my luggage to my destination and pick it up. Why pay the airplane two or three times as much? Do you know that as a Christian we can do a similar thing when it comes to eternity? John says we can send ahead an investment when it comes to eternity. John says this word again, number two in the book of Revelation, Revelation 14, 13, blessed are the dead. Why? Because they died? No. He says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. If you die in Christ, you're blessed. God was with you in life, helped you through the afflictions that you had, but in eternity you are blessed. All those problems are gone. God says, I'm going to be caring for you. I'm going to be providing for you. You're going to have an inheritance like you can't begin to imagine. And here's one of the things. You're going to rest from your labors. You see, that blessedness, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, it does not free people from their labors. They still have some. But God says that's short time. And then here's the key part. He says their works follow them. About a week and a half ago, there were some Christians who stayed late. And it was a mix of Christians, older as far as chronological age and younger. And the older got talking about some of the things that they had done several years ago. And as they talked about that, they said, we were involved with these activities, and then we kind of moved on with life, and we got older in life. And then one day, someone that we had helped way back when, one day, one of the activities that we had been involved with, someone from that time in life met up with us several years later. And they said, do you remember? And the older Christian said, oh no, I've forgotten. I'm sure that's true, but I don't remember. And you know what that person from way back when said? I remember. I was helped. I was encouraged. I had my needs met. And the Christian says, well, I'm glad that worked out. I'm glad I helped. But I forgot. Revelation 14:13 says God doesn't forget. Those works, perhaps the very first work that we did as a Christian, God says that will follow us into eternity. As I was thinking about this part of the lesson, I was reminded of a Christian many years ago. There was a situation where someone needed some home repair done. And this Christian reached out to a fellow brother and said, can you help me with my home repair? The Christian said, well, sure, I'll help you with that. And the Christian who was able to do some handiwork went over and did the repair. The Christian who did the handiwork was never repaid for any part of the repair. The Christian who did the handiwork didn't get anything for his time and labor, and I think that he probably would have been glad to have donated it. And then the materials. It was a project which didn't cost $10,000, but it was more than $100,000. And that person who wanted the help quickly, got the help quickly, hardly said thanks. I don't think that there was any appreciation. It was just, would you please come over today, practically, and fix it? And the brother did that. And the brother was wronged. Now that brother, as I think about him and that whole experience, I think he never got over the unhappiness about that. He never told the Christian he had helped about the wrong that he had experienced. But I do believe with all my being that if that Christian who had done the handiwork had understood or applied Revelation 14:13, he might have looked at the situation much differently. Their works follow them. You might not have paid me. You might not have thanked me. You might not have covered the costs for my labor. I was wronged in multiple ways. But God says it's all right. Why, God? Because those works will follow you. You may forget about them. Maybe you get Alzheimer's, end up in the nursing home, can't remember a thing. God says it doesn't matter. Those works are attached to you. And they're going to stick with you through life every single day. And when you get into eternity, those works will somehow have an impact on your eternity. When we think about life, we want to have the right attitude because it's going to bless us. When we think about death, the world says, oh, he or she is at peace. And that's pretty much it for the world. But that's not true for the people who die in sin. For the person who dies outside of Christ, they are lost. The world cannot say truly their works follow them. But for every single person who's a Christian, they, if you will, send it ahead. They send it ahead. That's God's promise to us. And God says that's one of the reasons that you are among the blessed. We can be blessed in this life by God. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed forever by our faithfulness. The Christian is allowed to finally rest in eternity. Next place where we find blessed is Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus said, behold, watch. You be on the lookout. Why, Lord? Because he said, I come. And I come as a thief, and blessed is the one who's watching. Blessed is the one who keeps his garments. There are people in life, and we can probably identify some, who watch for someone or something. Maybe you've known of someone who was stalked, or maybe you've been stalked by someone. And the person who is being stalked is always looking over the shoulder, always looking ahead. Is he over here, over there, over here? Always on watch, always on guard, always mindful. Maybe you have had in your neighborhood a prowler reported That's happened in our area. And the people in the neighborhood, they begin to watch. Who's in that car? Who's at his door? Who's walking down the street? In the area of religion, we find some watchers. There are people who are looking for signs. They scour the world. There's an earthquake over here. There's a famine over here. There's a war over here. A new political leader has erupted, emerged on the scene over here. Look at the signs. Jesus said, no, don't watch for signs. Matthew 24, he said that the coming of Noah was without signs. The people were given no warning except the preaching of Noah. There was no warning. The flood is going to come tomorrow or going to come within an hour. And that's true for us. There are no signs. We live, though, in a time, and really in a state where we have preppers. We in our area, throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, we have people who are watching what's taking place in society. And they say, we're going to stock up on wood, and we're going to stock up on water, and we're going to stock up on food and fuel. We're going to stock up on arms and ammunition because we're watching for whatever. Out of all the watching that's done for the stalkers and the preppers and the religious people, the one thing that is not done is keeping the garments. Having the garment washed in the blood of the Lamb, purged from sin, and then continuing to watch. The word blessed in Revelation, it really pictures, it encapsulates the whole Christian life. And we'll, Lord willing, see that tonight with the rest of the four passages. But this morning we've seen three of them. Now one might wonder, what else would God have to say about the word blessed? He's got a lot more to say. But right now, we've got enough before us to ask this question. Are we someone who is blessed by God every single day? And as you start looking about life, if you're truly trying to live the Christian life, you'll begin to see it. You can find it and learn about more tonight. This morning, though, you can't be with the blessed if you've not washed your robe. And today you have a chance to do that. If you believe in Christ and you want to leave behind the ways of the world, you can publicly embrace that gospel that we've talked about, God's word. Share that to the best of your ability. Live according to it to the best of your ability. You can become a Christian by being baptized into Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says that you will be raised up to walk in the newness of life. And then, as we see in the book of Revelation, to be among the blessed. Do you want to be among the blessed in this life? And do you want to be part of the blessed in eternity? It's a simple question. And the answer to that is either yes or no. If the answer is no, you can go your way and live as you want. God gives you that right. You'll have to answer for that one day, but that is your choice. If it's yes, God says there is a very narrow path that he's created. We didn't make it up. It's his path. And we invite you to embrace that, follow that, and obey that as we stand and sing the selected songs.